full speed ahead, Mr. Kind.
You know, you're tuned in tonight. You're tuned in tonight because you're passionate about the music. You're fans of piracy on the net. Tonight on the television set, a lot of you have seen glimpses of kids backstage working on computers throughout the evening and are probably wondering what they're doing. Well, we asked three college-age students to spend 2 days with us and download as many music files as possible from easily accessible websites. Please say hello to
the pirates
of the internet. Hey, gang. In a couple of days, they've downloaded nearly 6,000 songs.
It's how you look at Buccaneers that makes them bad or good. And I see us as members of a noble brotherhood.
Hup! Hey, ho, ho.
Oh, I love it. It is poetry in motion.
And before we lose our tempers, we will always count to 10.
On occasion, there may be someone you have to execute.
But when you're a professional pirate,
you don't have to wear a suit.
In recent years, industry consolidation has created a disturbing disconnect in our relationship. This illegal industry consolidation is pervasive, out of control, and it's oh so criminal. And trends say that it's going to promise to get much, much worse. Many of the nominees here tonight, especially the new and less established artists, are in immediate danger of being marginalized out of our business. Industry consolidation is stealing their livelihood one digital file at a time, leaving their musical dreams haplessly snared in this worldwide web of theft and indifference.
Passing laws, they're planning legislation, trying their best to keep the music
no,
down.
No, 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 no.
Passing laws, they're planning legislation, trying their best to keep the music
no,
down.
No, 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 no.
We are the pirates.
Piracy on the net.
Of the internet. Ooh, I go online with them any day.
We are the pirates. We are the pirates.
Of the internet. No question, the most insidious virus in the midst of this illegal industry consolidation is the RIAA. Songwriters, singers, musicians, labels, publishers, the entire music food chain is at serious risk. This problem's not going to be solved in short order. It's going to require education, leadership from Washington, and true diligence to help our fans, that would be you, to embrace this life or death issue and support our artistic community by only downloading your music from
the pirates
of the internet.
We are the pirates
of the internet.
We are the pirates
of the internet. Hey, gang.
Well, you don't like plundering, eh? Shiver me timbers.
Some say that pirates steal and should be feared and hated. I say we're victims of bad press. It's all exaggerated. We'd never stab you in the back. We'd never lie or cheat. We're just about the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet.
People can be sued for that.
I mean, my own brothers and sisters are going to sue me?
Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org. That was Pirates of the Internet. And you can find that on the internet as well. But on the line with me right now, I have from downhillbattle.org, co-director Tiffany Chang. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How you doing today?
Good, thank you.
And
how are you?
You're good. You're with the music activist group downhillbattle.org. Downhill Battle, I guess you can call it.
Yeah.
And you got a great website. We've been checking it out, downhillbattle.org, for folks that want to check it out. And you're telling people a lot of different things here about copyright, file sharing, and not buying major label music. I wonder if you could kind of run over a little bit about what Downhill Battle is all about and what you guys are doing.
Sure. When we started, we were reading in the papers that the major labels were putting out this publicity campaign and talking about file sharing. And they were only talking about file sharing in terms of thievery and how that if it continues, their industry would die. And we were not surprised, but we were obviously mad enough about it that we were going to take action, because file sharing is more than what they were saying. File sharing has this whole public interest component where it's the largest music library that's ever existed. It's about music exploration and music education. It presents this new opportunity for independent music and musicians on major labels to get out to their fans. And file sharing presents this unbelievable opportunity to restructure the music industry. And so a year and a half ago until now, we've been advocating for people to not buy major label music because it supports this centralized corporate system that doesn't treat artists fairly, only gives them about 80 cents on per CD sale, and we think that's absolutely ridiculous. And people are learning more and more that they don't need to buy major label music, that when they buy a CD for 50 cents, a CDR for 50 cents, and they can make a CD from that of the album that they like, that something's going wrong with the music industry, where labels get to charge $16 per CD. Like, people are just learning that something's going wrong and they don't have to pay for it. So we're pushing for the public interest. We've been pushing for the public interest with our various campaigns. We've done different protests. And we know that millions of people know that the music industry isn't fair, and it isn't fair to artists and musicians, and we want to put the power back into musicians and fans.
We're also seeing a lot of these little anti-piracy little labels that the music industry, the corporate music industry, is putting on their albums. We're even seeing it on, mostly the corporate labels that are out there. And what's the latest in the courts on the whole copying, copyright issues? I mean, it's a huge area. You know, we can get into file sharing, it's a whole different issue.
Right.
But just a simple basic thing is, I can make a CD for a friend of mine, or a bunch of CDs for a friend of mine. Are they coming after just people that are just doing that, or is it more people making money off of the CD?
Well, about a year ago, they were suing people who were uploading songs to a file sharing network and had over 1,000 songs on their computer. They made a few mistakes and sued people who weren't doing that. They were suing moms and dads, kids. And since then, there was a recent law that was passed that says that you get a federal offense if you are uploading music to a file sharing network that isn't your own, that hasn't been released by the label yet. That's the current state of it. But do you have what was the other question? I'm sorry.
Oh, just how, if they are actively still pursuing people as well for illegal downloading.
Well, they are. It's one of their last resorts. It's a part of their publicity campaign to make people feel bad about file sharing. And it's one of the last things they can do. It's just a part of their strategizing on how to make sure that they exist in 5 years, is to make people scared of file sharing, and really they're not thinking about the people they're suing. I can't even believe that a corporation can just go out there and sue families and no one cares about the families. I mean, millions of people do, but the major labels don't. They're just strategizing and using these families as pundits for getting their point across.
Their own customers in some
cases.
Right,
their own customers. I mean, they're tricky because they market their music to young teenagers all the time. They, you know, they put on, they put music out there that they want teenagers to buy and listen to, but they don't actually like people listening to their music for free. So they're suing the people that are the most likely to be their customer.
And again, they call it piracy, of course. And I just played a little thing from, I don't know if you heard of Lawrence Lessig, who does the free culture. He was just talking about the whole photography. I played a little portion of that, how that all came about and how they called that piracy in the beginning, people taking photographs. And if someone could take your picture, that might be illegal and they could sue you. I mean, this all goes down the line of ownership issues that mm-hmm. these huge corporations want to put on it. The phonograph was actually a pirate instrument at one time, too. The record mm-hmm. player, you know.
Right.
I mean, what are you guys doing to try to help that out? You're spreading awareness with your website, that's for sure. And there's also that movie Eyes on the Screen, which, what's the story behind that?
The most important civil rights documentary that has ever been made, called Eyes on the Prize, has been out of circulation for the past 10 years. And it's because copyright law has expanded and extended so far beyond its original meaning that the most important civil rights documentary hasn't been available to schools and to the public and to libraries who don't have copies for the past 10 years. So when we heard about this on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, we decided that there was one thing we could do, which was offer copies of Eyes on the Prize on file sharing networks so that people could have access to the film and continue to celebrate what was the triumphs of the civil rights movement. I mean, you can't do it without the film. Most people didn't learn about the civil rights movement without one of these documentaries. And documentaries fall into this category where they should have fair use rights to document history. It's extremely hard to document history without having fair use rights, and many films don't get made because of the exorbitant fees that and the labyrinthine process that people have to go through in order to clear rights to a film. There needs to be a better system, and we have a chance at making a better system, and that's what Downhill Battle is doing. Downhill Battle brought the issue with Eyes on the Prize to the public. We had a celebration by having nationwide screenings of Eyes on the Prize, and that went extremely well. And we brought the issue of how terrible copyright and the major labels are for culture to a number of people who would never be exposed to this issue. And, you know, Senator Landrieu of Louisiana is planning to work on this issue and make sure that documentaries like this aren't in the same peril that Eyes on the Prize is still in. I think, have just put in the public interest viewpoint on why copyright law is not good for culture. It's not good for musicians. It's not good for enriching the music that exists. It's not good for sampling. It's not good for documentaries. It's not good for radio stations like yours, who might be afraid to put out music that they should have fair use right to do so. The major labels have this really big publicity machine that scares people away, that causes people to censor their work and censor their art and music. And we don't think that we need the major labels anymore, and it's obvious we don't, and there's no economic reasons that we need the major labels anymore. And we can we have the means to come up with a new system, mm-hmm. and that's what's so exciting, is that the major labels are the first corporation structure that we can actually say we don't need. They're old-fashioned, and that all they're doing is making sure that they still have a grip on the sales of CDs so that they can continue to exist. But we see with Conor Oberst, who was who had the top two singles on the Billboard charts last fall, that we don't need the major labels, that Conor Oberst is doing fine. He's doing really well, in fact, and he was on Jay Leno, and people knew about his music way before they bought the music, and that's how he rose to the top. And he didn't have any of those publicity outlets that the major labels have. He didn't have radio. He doesn't have mainstream radio. And it's crazy that he doesn't have mainstream radio. He's extremely popular, but he's not on mainstream radio, and that's because major labels do really bad things like payola. And payola was considered a crime, and it was a crime. It has been a crime since the 60s, but now the major labels hide it even better. But the public is finding out more and more that they are doing payola, and we need to stop payola. I mean, imagine if a major label went up to you and was like, "Here's some money, play these songs," and that means you don't play King Missile 3. You don't play that because the major labels aren't going to pay you to play that music. And I mean, the major labels have control on all the outlets, and they're trying to keep control of the file sharing network.
Mm-hmm. What about artists? I recently interviewed John S. Hall last week, and we talked about file sharing a bit, and he's against it, although he's on a independent label, Important Records, I believe. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of other artists that feel sometimes that, okay, if you put I've read both sides. If you put up someone's whole album up on the internet for free, that they feel like they're losing money, they're losing revenue. And especially there's folks out there that take out may put albums up and make money off of an artist that that the artist doesn't make that money directly either, you know. And a lot of artists are upset about that.
Right. The two sides of the argument seem so polarized if we continue to construct the argument the way the major labels want us to construct it. We advocate for people to buy independent label music all the time. We think it's an important part of music that you buy or you pay artists for their work. And we think that it's great to be compensated. You know, Conor Oberst is making a ton of money. And I'm not calling him a sellout because he's just doing a good job at his music. But if we continue to think about the way the major labels want us to think about it, then we can't ever come up with a new system where artists get paid fully for their work and get rich off of their work. And we're not thinking about the system where people don't have to sign contracts that are actually a catch-22 for them, where they have to work, they have to reach a level of stardom in order to make money back. Those aren't options for lots of musicians, and the major labels are only presenting a system where you either sign with them to get popular or you don't get popular at all. That's not a fair system to musicians. That's not a fair system to John Hall. I mean, he's not that popular, but he should be. His music is amazing, and he's not on radio, and we would love him to be on radio. It's the major labels are paying radio stations so that his music basically doesn't get on the air. If you believe that music culture can be better, if you believe that we don't need a corporate, if you believe that music can flourish when there's more competition, then you have to say don't buy major labels. That this corporation, the major labels, need to go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I recently read an article with Ian McKay of Fugazi from your website, mm-hmm. downhillbattle.org, which was really good. He made the point of he doesn't mind if someone takes his album and puts it up on the internet, not for money, like someone else making money off of it. He's against that. But on the other hand, some kid in Pakistan who's surfing the web might be able to find Fugazi and listen to it and love it. And on the other hand, right. If we don't have that ability to file share, you know, it's opening up a new culture is what it is. And
right. There's this new model called the collective licensing system and it's voluntary, where you pay a flat fee like you do for cable each month. You pay $5 or $10 and you get to listen to all the music you want. You can download all the music you want. You have access to file sharing networks and you're not called a thief for liking music. The artists make just as much money as they would now, yet there would be a chance for indie musicians to rise to the top. It would be a meritocratic system where really great music goes to the top and gets on our airwaves and goes to independent radios, and independent radio stations are better, and so on and so forth. And this collective voluntary collective license system is a great alternative. It's a great new economic model for the music industry, and it's not surprising that the major labels aren't participating or aren't pushing that forward, because they know that the bulk of the money doesn't have to go to CEOs at the major labels anymore. That money can go more directly to artists, and that's why they're not participating. I mean, obviously, they can just do that and be at one with their customers, but they haven't chosen to do that because it's a system that would keep them out of the loop.
Well, usually when they sign a band up anyway, they give them a huge advance, and then don't they sell their rights right then and there, like some of the young bands that see the big stars, you know, when a
right.
promoter comes and finds them. I was reading some stuff. I think Steve Albini wrote a thing at your mm-hmm. website about that. And how they woo them, and how they're becoming younger and younger, and they're sending out these younger kids and paying them a lot of money to go sign these bands, you know, on to other huge labels, you know.
Right. That what you just talked about is a corporation defining what music we listen to.
Exactly.
Is a corporation plucking young artists to be at the forefront of music, and a corporation structuring how people listen to music. It's many musicians, and we don't blame them at all. They're not selling out. We don't call anybody selling out because they don't have any choice if they want to make it as a musician, if they want to be a musician as their profession. They have to sign this contract, and they take that advance because it seems like a good deal, or these A&R execs are making it sound like a good deal. And then they're stuck for the next 3 years to make music that the corporations want them to make albums that sound creatively the way corporations think they should sound, and to become really big, or else that advance is almost nothing to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, Steve Albini's article is great. It explains exactly how what happens when you're a young band looking for stardom, and you get this great deal presented to you. You get some money at first, but in the end, you pay for so many things that unless you hit a certain number of record sales, you don't make any money back.
And you lose the rights, don't you? You lose the rights to some of your artwork.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you give the rights to the labels, and we think that's obviously
not wrong.
A good system. Copyright was made to put power in the hands of musicians and make it so that they could make money off of their work, and, you know, to incite them to make more music and do more things with music. But now copyright is in the hands of corporations like Disney, like the Major Five, EMI, Sony, Universal, BMG. Actually, it's the Major Four now. And that means that they hold on to the copyright for 90-plus years, to when the artist gave it up or something like that, and they get to sell the rights and make money off it. I one of your callers that I heard your programming yesterday that called in and said that it's a good idea to charge, you know, ad companies for using a song, and we completely agree. You know, if somebody's trying to make a ton of money off of somebody else's song, that's a great idea. Charge them. It's a fair deal. You know, they make more money, you make some money. That's great. But when labels are keeping copyright so that independent musicians and people who just want to make music can't make their music, that means that copyright doesn't serve the public anymore. Our public domain is this weird space where there isn't that much music in it, and there isn't enough music for people to keep on building on top of music and making better music. Hmm. And that's the whole problem with sampling. And it's too bad that, you know, with hip-hop is an extremely popular mass music genre. But for the past 10 years, it's been harder and harder to get innovative with your music. It's harder to sample. There isn't a compulsory licensing system where you just pay the artist for sampling their work. It's a labyrinthine process that keeps people from making music.
Yeah, I noticed we played Public Enemy's Psycho Greed, which was cut from the Revolver Leisure album because of the Beatles sample in there. And they couldn't even afford to pay what they wanted for that track. And so it was, and it's funny, this whole song's awesome. It kind of just reminds me of the music company, music corporations.
Paul's Boutique by the Beastie Boys wouldn't be able to be made today if it were today and that album hadn't been made yet. There's an interview on downhillbattle.org that with DJ Z Trip, and he talked about how he wanted to make an agreement where he would pay 100% of the royalties he would give that over to the artists who were offering their music to him. These corporations said no, that it wasn't okay. All he wanted to do was put out the music and not make any money off of it. He wanted to just give the money back. And it's crazy because they're just afraid of losing control. They don't want an open, free system where people are making good music and rising to the top. Mm-hmm. They're afraid of that because they would have less and less control. And we don't need corporations to tell us what kind of music we should listen to anymore. We have a great opportunity with file sharing networks for distribution and for marketing. It's a great unprecedented opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you talking with me. We're talking to Tiffany Chang of downhillbattle.org. She's the co-director there. And is there any closing comments you want to leave us today?
Just that I think independent radio stations are awesome and that they serve the public really well. Mm-hmm. They put out music that you never would have heard of, and they help rising independent artists. And I encourage everybody to support their independent radio stations, and I encourage everybody to support their independent musicians that they like, and go ahead and explore and find those musicians that you like.
Are you finding any stations coming under attack? Because we don't pay anything to anybody, and we play, I play a lot of independent stuff mostly, and we get a lot of stuff sent to us, but there are people that play some mainstream stuff on our station, and occasionally we've gotten emails from some CSAC, I think it's called. I can't remember.
ASCAP or?
Not ASCAP. It could have been just somebody wanting to make money off us, but they said that they've been listening to our station. We play this song and this song, which they have the rights to, and then they wanted us to pay X amount a month, whatever it is, $500 a month to have the right to play that song, which we probably would never play again, which is totally absurd in my view. Are they coming after any radio stations, like independent stations? Because I know Clear Channel is pretty, they're homogenized with their own garbage that they want to get out there.
Not that I've heard of. I mean, independent radio stations often hear, get these cease and desist letters or, these pay-up letters, but there hasn't been any mass movement to shut down radio stations or independent radio stations that I've heard of. There are other things that they do, like, push for mass consolidation of radio stations, take out the legality of low-power FM. They do things like that mm-hmm. that are in some ways worse than just sending you a notice to pay up. We think that if there was a good compulsory licensing system, then radio stations wouldn't have to be afraid of playing major label music, and artists would get paid. But the main thing is that corporations are screwing up the whole system. You can't pay the artist directly, and you don't want to pay the major labels because you don't believe in what they do. So there needs to be a new system where artists get paid directly and independent radio stations can play what they want.
Well, okay. Tiffany Chang from downhillbattle.org, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us here on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Sure. I'm glad that you want to talk about this stuff.
Cool. And hopefully we'll do more of that because I want to get in more into your website and to the issue itself. And we're going to be doing more of that here on this show. So maybe we'll give you another call back.
Sure. I encourage everybody to book shows, go to shows. It's one of the best ways to support your independent and major label artists.
Mm-hmm. Shop shop in independent record stores as well,
right,
if you can find them, or online. You know, there's a lot of independent artists out there that are doing some great things right now, independent labels as well. So, all right. Well, thank you for talking with
thank
us.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Take care. Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org. That was Tiffany Chang from downhillbattle.org, co-director. And hopefully we'll be getting more information about that from them and in the coming weeks. And stay tuned to Freak Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org.
The U.S. copyright law.
You do like to segue into the topic of the day, don't you?
Well, it's better than a complete non sequitur.
Let's get back to the use of recorded music.
Can Music.
Iron Records, Gammon Records, Gap, Kitchenware Records, K-Tel International, Lamborghini Records, Lightning Records, London Records, MCA, Magnet Records, Music of Pleasure.
Can Music.
No copies under any circumstances can be made.
Oily Records, Old Gold Records, Old Records, People Unite Musicians Co-op and Publications.
Can Music.
Phonograph Limited.
We have to be very strict. No copies under any circumstances can
Audio,
be made.
Pop, Oral, President Records.
Can Music.
Gold Records, Fit Records, Shadow of Choice, RAM, Rack Records, RCA, Motown.
Can Music.
East Side International Records, Red Team, Red Lightning Record Leads, and R&B Specialist, The Rocket Record Company.
Can Music.
Bronco Teleproducts.
Can
Rough Trade Records.
Music.
Safari Records.
Can
Saga Records.
Music.
Satchel Records.
Can Music.
Secret Records.
Music.
Scott Africa
Music.
Situation.
Can Music.
Solid
can
Gold Records.
Can
Small
Music.
Records.
Can
Music. Music. Can Music. Can Music. Records. Static Records. Stiff Records. Super Low Records. Sour Bell Records.
I remember when you rarely heard music unless you made it yourself. Now it's blaring at you. Blaring at you. Blaring at you from little plastic boxes. Little plastic boxes. Little plastic boxes set all around your personal landscape.
Eternity will be encased in.
We've always been really upfront about it. When people say, what are your influences? Where did you get? You know, I mean, we rip anyone off all the time. I mean, that's the nature of things. We're bound to reflect what we listen to.
It's all come from like blues music.
Rolling Stone.
Everything the Rolling Stones did, like some black guy with a guitar, some blues singer, they'd done it years and years before.
You just can't resist.
So it's a bit.
Don't hurt me, child.
So it's a bit.
It's a bit hypocritical, really,
to sort of start thinking to yourself, oh, well, we invented this and nobody else can use it, because it's all stolen anyway.
No copies under any circumstances can be made.
Copying is a criminal act.
No copies under any circumstances can be made.
Copying is a criminal act.
No copies under any circumstances can be made.